It's time to get away from it all. Doesn't matter if you say you or y'all. Let's all get out there and have some fun. Bluff City Outdoor Show is for everyone. Welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show.
Thank you, Barry Woods, and indeed, welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Quentin and my partner, Mark McMurray from Bluff City Outdoors. Great to see you.
Hey, it's good to be back. Good to be back.
So we were just talking off the air. There's a lot of cool stuff to talk about today. The Lake of the Ozarks is in the news, in the major headline news.
In a good way, yep.
There's a world record set, fishing record set at the Lake of the Ozarks this week. So that's cool. You just showed me a picture. I was not aware of that. We have our first giant of the season, catfish caught at the in the river.
Yep, trying to find out where he caught it. So.
Yeah. So some really cool stuff. It just all signs point to, I mean, I said this earlier this week on Colombo and Katie, it's late March. It's almost April. We are flying through this year and we are, spring is here. Yep. I mean, officially it's here,
it's here,
you know,
but
I mean, like, this is it. This is the green light. We're seeing these fishing stories in the headlines and we've had some pretty decent weather here off and on recently, and it kind of really gets you excited that this is time to be getting outside.
Yep. And, you know, weather's getting better. Temps are getting better. You know, it is that time. Mushrooms are starting to pop. So,
mm-hmm. So we are going to be joined today by Tim Shelswick from Drury Outdoors. He's going to join us here in just a few minutes. Tim is one of our hunting experts here on the Bluff City Outdoors Show, and I know he is preparing for turkey season. I talked to him off the air a little bit ago, and he's trying to redeem his validation as a hunter after a tough deer season. With hopefully a good turkey season.
Yeah.
So he's hanging a lot of
trying to get his hunter card back.
Yeah. He's hanging a lot of his self-respect on this coming turkey season. So looking forward to talking to Tim Shelswick from Drury Outdoors in a few minutes. But we were just chatting right before the show, just chatting with Quentin here about this paddlefish at the Lake of the Ozarks. I have a buddy who goes on an annual trip, and this guy is not he's not a big fisherman. He likes to fish, but he's not somebody who, you know, goes out of his way to get out, you know, on the water as much as possible like I am. So he doesn't fish, you know, consistently throughout the year, but he, every year, him and a group of friends and coworkers go on a big paddlefish trip right around this time.
Oh yeah.
So I guess there's a season.
There's a season on it. Yep.
And it's only it's short, I think. So
it runs about, the one in Missouri might be just, I know the one in Illinois it's 2 months.
Yeah.
March 15th
right.
to May 15th.
It's definitely no longer than that.
Yeah, it's no
Missouri.
Longer than that.
It might be in shorter. So I know it's a short window of time for the paddle fishing season, and he loves it. And he's always sending me these pictures of these big paddlefish that he's catching at the Lake of the Ozarks. And this week, an angler caught the world record paddlefish at the Lake of the Ozarks, yeah. A 164-pound paddlefish. That's a whole human cube.
That's a whole, yep. I mean, they're a big fish.
Yeah, yeah. And we were just chatting about how I've never done this. Have you ever actually paddle fished? I've seen people do it. I've had talked to my buddies about it.
There are a couple of different ways they do it. You know, right. They do it from the bank here in our area differently than what they're doing it down there. Down there, they're doing it out of a boat. They're basically trolling.
Right, right. Yeah. And it's not, I mean, you know, usually when we're talking about fishing, we're talking about putting a, you know, bait on a hook or a lure and trying to get a fish to bite that lure. It's not that way with these paddlefish.
No, they're snagging them.
They snag them. They have to try to figure out where they are and literally drag that those big treble hooks on the bottom of the lake and try to.
A lot of times, it's not so much on the bottom, but it'd be somewhere in the water column.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, that's it's super different way to fish. Q, you're learning a lot about fishing on show.
Oh yeah.
What would you do with a 164-pound fish?
What would it do with me? Is the better question. I wouldn't be doing anything.
We gotta go out on the water and stick. Q, get it in the boat.
Oh yeah. See, how do you get it over the boat? I don't get it.
How do you get it over the boat?
I got a feeling it's got to take a couple of people, because they do that bill. They probably get hold of that bill and just get a few, and they just lift them in.
Yeah.
Probably try to get it by the tail too.
Yeah. And you said something right before the show that I hadn't even thought about, but it's so true. This is a world record paddlefish here at the Lake of the Ozarks this week. And we've talked so much over the last few weeks, especially with guys like Mike Marfell and Gabe Montgomery, the 10 horse Monty, who you've been competing in bass tournaments recently. And a lot of the catfish guys that you talk to, that forward facing sonar has become such a big thing, especially once you get to that elite level.
Yep.
You almost have to have it. If you want to compete. That was Mike Marfell. That was his big message a couple of weeks ago, is that he's had a couple tournaments this year and they haven't gone his way. And he said, it just proved to me that I've got to embrace this forward facing sonar. If I'm going to stay on this level, I've got to
get there to compete.
It's making that much of a difference. But it with catfish and bass and crappie and all the fish that we usually talk about, you still, as the fisherman, it's still your responsibility and your skill and all of that to get that fish to bite
you.
You
still got to bite it.
You can find them a lot easier.
Yeah, save time, not fishing dead water.
But you still got to make that fish bite. With the forward-facing sonar, with the paddlefish situation, and there's got to be, I mean, the Lake of the Ozarks is full of giants. I mean, there are things lurking in that lake. Yep. You hear about the dam. You hear about the welders that
go. You hear about the big catfish.
About the catfish
stuff.
That feed. You know, they basically live their whole life just right there at the base of the dam because all the food is just rushing, and they're, you know, these giant man-sized catfish down there. Like, if this forward-facing sonar can find these big fish in these big bodies of water like the Lake of the Ozarks, and you don't, like, once you find them, I mean, am I oversimplifying?
No,
once
I mean, you
find
you
that paddlefish, you got
to,
it's a lot
easier. But you know what depth they're at.
Yeah.
You know, you can tell what size they are, basically. And, yeah, I mean, there is concern about that. That's really going to impact that fishery down there on the paddlefish.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, in the past, you didn't know where those big fish were. You know, you might get the idea based on the conditions and the water temps and everything, have a good idea where they're going to be, but now you can actually see a fish and try to go get it.
Yeah, like you said, you can see the depth, and you can see, like, exactly where they are. You know, how they're, you know, you can tell they're 10 feet down, they're 20 feet in front of me and 10 feet down. Yep. And, you know, like, literally can pinpoint exactly where they're at. And that, for that type of fishing, that snagging, that's the battle is to find them. And so I wouldn't be surprised if we don't suddenly see I'm not saying like a new world record, every week or anything like that, but I bet we start to see these type of big fish, especially in paddlefish season.
Yeah, paddlefish.
Become a regular
thing. Some of the fish limits I've seen come out of Lake of the Ozarks are phenomenal. I mean, you'll see five fish over 80 pounds and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Just go, you know,
I'm telling you.
Can it produce? How long can it keep producing if they can now start picking off these fish like that? You know, it makes me wonder.
Yeah, I agree, and I have that concern big time. The one thing that is amazing about that lake, just the Lake of the Ozarks specifically, is the fact that always blows people's mind is that the Lake of the Ozark has more coastline than the state of California.
Yeah, it's mind-numbing.
I mean, that to give you an idea of how big the Lake of the Ozarks is, there's more coastline around the Lake of the Ozarks than there is the entire state of California.
Wow.
Yeah, so that gives you an idea how big it is. And as commercialized as it is, and my family has a condo down there, so I've watched the evolution from being the little, you know, the little go-kart mini golf play, you know, Ozark Opry place to now just a full-blown commercialized area. But even with all that commercialization down there, there is still so much of that lake that is just completely untouched. There's just miles and miles of coastline that is just still completely untouched. So that keeps me optimistic about, because I get worried about that too. You know, you go out there. I mean, you can't even, you know, I have a little 19-foot Ranger. I can't even take my boat out. Certainly can't have a nice boat ride with my family on a Saturday afternoon or a Friday night or a Sunday afternoon.
Too much boat traffic.
Oh, the wake created by all the boat traffic. It's just, you know, you're just getting knocked around like crazy. But even me, like, just going out to fish, even being prepared for that and knowing this is going to happen, it's so disruptive that you can't even if you're prepared for it, you still can't do what you need to do to fish. But so yeah, that is a concern, a big concern. But just the vastness of that lake is unbelievable. And that's why I said that, like, if they found they got this 164 pounder, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised at anything that's in that lake, because we've heard different stories. They did a River Monsters. Did you ever see that show, River Monsters, with Jeremy Wade? It was on Animal Planet.
On Lake of the Ozarks?
Yeah, they did an episode at Lake of the Ozarks about the catfish down there at the base of the dam. I mean, there's some stories about some of the giants that are in that lake. So if they can start spotting them with this technology, we could see some pretty amazing pictures over the next few years.
It could happen. And like I said, in the paddlefish too, I don't know if they stop growing. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know. That's a great question. Do they? Yeah, because there'd be nothing to stop them if they do keep growing.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing down there to stop them. Just keep growing,
right?
You know, they don't max out.
Yeah,
other fish hit a certain size, and that's as big as they get.
Right, right. Yeah,
I don't know about paddlefish.
I don't know about paddlefish.
All I know is they're delicious when it comes to eating them. So,
does that type of fishing? Like I said, I have my buddy who does this trip every year, and he talks about it. It doesn't sound that fun to me. I don't know if that is. I'm not taking a shot at all the paddlefish. We just lost the entire paddlefish community on the Bluff City Outdoors.
I think they're. Nah,
Colombo's remarks do not reflect those of Bluff City Outdoors.
Because, I mean, when you foul hook a fish, it's going to fight much harder than one caught by the mouth.
Yeah.
So it's a tremendous fight. And they are so good to eat.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why people go get them, because they're delicious.
Yeah. Yeah, but I like to go.
No bones.
I like
they have
the
zero
cast.
Bones in them.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. You know, it's some mild fish flavor. It's got the kind of more. To me, it's got a texture more.
I know.
Like chicken.
I know. Q wants you to explain why there's no bones in the fish.
They have cartilage. They're like a shark, so they have a cartilage like spine going down their back, but they have no other bones in them.
That's
And then you would think when you look at them that the whole nose is a bone. Like that whole
it's
paddle,
cartilage.
But it's not, right? Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But I just I don't know. I like the finding the casting and the lures and the that part of fishing.
You haven't eaten one yet, have you?
No, I'll eat it. I'll eat it all day.
And I want to go catch me some spoonbill because I want to eat them.
No, that is true.
I mean, being a filter feeder, they have a good diet. So they don't eat a lot of crap, you know. They're just filtering the water.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing that something could get that big doing that.
I know. Well, that's like those catfish at the dam who just they live their whole life just sitting there letting the food come to them, and they just do. Catfish have a do they have a limit that they'll or do they just keep going?
I mean, because the record keeps getting set. So.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, that's. I mean, boy, I'd like to see the sonar pictures of what that looks like down there. It'd be amazing. I want to talk about, speaking of big fish, we have our first report of a giant catfish caught in the river area, Mississippi, Missouri River area. I've seen the pictures. We don't know the exact number, but it looks like it's 100 pounds.
I was going to say it looks like a triple digit.
In that neighborhood, certainly.
He had the one that was caught in the Twisted Cats there the first weekend of the month.
Oh, yeah,
that was also
right.
100.
That was over 100, yeah. Yeah. So. Absolutely. So
it's on.
Yeah, it is on. I want to tell that story, and we're getting now, again, I can't believe how fast it's going, but next weekend's the spring sale.
Next weekend, spring sale, starts Thursday.
Yeah, Bluff City Outdoors. So we want to get into that. We'll tell you more about that. and we're going to talk to our buddy Tim Shelsvik. We're going to switch gears for a minute from fishing to hunting. We're going to talk about turkey season with Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors next on the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Never got to give her that diamond ring.
I skip that rock and watch. This is the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
Worked all week, got it all done. Let's make a Tennessee River run.
You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. As I mentioned, joining us on the line now is our old friend Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors. Buddy, it's been a little while since we had a chance to catch up. How are you?
Time is flying, man. I'm doing great. Looking forward to turkey season. How about
you? Well, that I was actually just going to ask you about that because when we talk to Tim, we're usually talking about hunting and, you know, obviously deer season in the fall. That's when it's, you know, really red hot with all that. But there's some exciting stuff happening in the spring, of course, turkey season. I just wanted to kind of check in with where we're at on the hunting schedule and how things are going in that community right now.
Well, the big buzz right now is that the Missouri Department of Conservation has opened up all day turkey hunting in the spring for private lands. So instead of, you know, it used to be you had to end your hunts by 1 p.m., you can now actually hunt the evenings too up until sunset. So there's a factor of being able to catch birds going back to the roost, which Missouri hunters have not really been able to take advantage of for spring turkey seasons in the past. So it's going to be a new dynamic. And we actually had Jason Sumner's Nick Oakley from the Department of Conservation on our podcast, the 100% Wild podcast. That episode launches today. And we're talking about that. And people are concerned about turkey numbers. And here the department is making a liberal change to the turkey hunting regulations. And then kind of what they said was the reality is that most hunters don't take more than one gobbler during the spring turkey season. And this really just makes a more flexible schedule for people. Like you could hunt after work now, mm-hmm. or you might be able to take your kids out after school and not, you know, they don't have to miss games on the weekend if you're focusing all your hunting on the weekend. So really they think it's going to be, it's not going to result in a decimation of the population, but it's just going to make things a little more flexible for hunters themselves. But they're going to watch the data and see how it turns out.
How is the population? Because as you know, one of the things we've talked a lot about on this show and we've talked with you about, it seems like when it comes to specifically deer, but other wildlife as well, but specifically deer, there's just more and more encroachment. And it's not even like new, like in my experience, it's not even like new construction. It's like in a spot where you may have seen, a deer or two in the past. Now you're seeing a dozen mm-hmm. on a regular basis in that same spot. It seems like, you know, we've talked about how the deer population is growing and it's also sort of, you know, it mixing in
with the,
so, yeah. Mm-hmm. What are turkey numbers like? Is there any, I actually have seen more turkeys in the last couple of years than I think I've seen in the past. So it feels like their numbers are rising as well. Is that true, and is that play into this this decision?
We've had two good years of turkey production. We've had pretty mild springs, whereas back in like 2017, a few years around that, we had really wet springs with a lot of flooding, which is and cold, which is really hard on any kind of ground nesting bird, including turkeys, and they suffered. But we've had a couple springs of good production, and so turkey numbers are actually looking pretty good across the state. And it's, you know, it can be spotty in different areas, but and people are taking a little more interest in controlling predators raccoons and possums and coyotes and skunks and all the things that tend to prey on eggs or even poults while they're still very vulnerable. So there's been a little more attention paid to that, but really it's the weather that according to the Department of Conservation's research has been the primary driver behind better years of production. So this year should actually be a pretty good year for turkey production. And this spring has been good so far. I guess we're only technically in spring, but it's been a pretty mild past few months. So I think we're going to have a pretty good production year this year also, which just has kind of echoing effects as we go into future hunting season.
Yeah, this weather has this kind of mild, wonky weather, I know, had impacted deer hunting season probably a little bit negatively this year. It was a little tougher for guys out in the woods this past season than in the past. Is there a lot of crossover between the deer hunting and the turkey hunters? Is this going to be like a second chance to sort of salvage the year going into turkey season, or is this two very different communities by and large?
So there's definitely a lot of overlap. Most people that turkey hunt also deer hunt, and a lot of deer hunters also turkey hunt. At least in my mind, they are two very different seasons and very different types of hunting. And like, of course, everyone wants to be successful. But I'll speak for myself. I did not kill a mature buck this year, so killing a turkey would be nice. But it's not gonna ease the pain of failure in 2023.
It's gotta help a little bit.
It don't hurt.
It's gotta help a little bit.
It doesn't hurt for sure, and it kind of gives you a little bit of momentum going into the summer. You know, prepping for deer season and then into deer season 2024, which is creeping up.
Yeah, yeah. Talking to Tim Shelswick from Drury Outdoors. Almost out of time here, Tim. But I wanted to quickly get your thoughts. Mark and I were just talking about it. I'm sure you saw the record fish, the 164-pound paddlefish caught at the Lake of the Ozarks this week, setting a record and actually making some national headlines. Pretty cool to see Missouri outdoorsmen in the news for a positive reason. And it's always cool to see, you know, that you could just tell from the pictures that these guys are loving their 15 minutes of fame and they deserve it. Pretty cool stuff.
Well, from what I've read on that experience, it was a first time angler too, which is not a bad first trip.
No, I don't know what you do from there. I don't know that you can ever go back out, right? You never go back out. I've got friends. I've got a buddy who's an iron worker that has been going, that goes religiously right around this time of year, every year on a trip with friends, a paddle fishing trip, you know, and he always sends me these pictures of these, you know, human sized fish that they snag. I've never experienced it, but pretty cool to see that happening in the state of Missouri.
They're crazy. Yeah, it's definitely a testament to the amount of effort that our state and our citizens and our department put into conservation, the high value that we place on it.
You mentioned your podcast. Of course, we always tell people, don't forget to make sure you're subscribed to the Bluff City Outdoors podcast. You can find us on just about every podcast platform. And Tim's podcast is the 100% Wild podcast. Tell folks how they can follow you and that podcast and the various websites and all you're all over the place. So let them know how to find you.
Yeah, any place you get podcasts, just search Drury Outdoors 100% Wild. You'll find us there. You can also watch the show on YouTube and DeerCast for free.
There you go. Great stuff. Really appreciate your time as always, my friend, and we'll catch up with you soon. And hopefully you'll have a successful story about turkey season that will ease the pain from the
I'm taking the kids up to northern Missouri for youth season here, hopefully I'll have some great success to share with you guys from that.
Awesome. Great stuff. Thanks as always for your time. Tim Shelswick from Drury Outdoors with us. We will be back with more Bluff City Outdoors Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. We'll
drop these anchors. This is the Bluff City Outdoors Show on News Talk STL. You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoors Show. Big thanks again to Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors for joining us in that last segment. If you missed that conversation or just want to make sure that you never miss anything that happens here on the show, make sure you are subscribed to the Bluff City Outdoors Show podcast. We put this show out as a podcast right after we get off the air every week, and we put it on basically every podcast platform out there: Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Google. So whatever your favorite place to get podcasts are, make sure you are subscribed to the Bluff City Outdoors Show, and you'll never miss anything that happens here with us. Another thing, Mark, that you need to make sure that you don't miss is the spring sale next weekend. I can't believe the end of
March
is
here.
The end of March, yeah. The end of March is here, and that means the spring sale out of Bluff City Outdoors.
Yeah, it starts Thursday, runs through Sunday, the 28th through the 31st. It's our best deal, you know, time of the year. We always like to do that once a year. And, I mean, we have tons of rods, reels, lures, different baits, accessories. I mean, it's all there. For the most part, almost everything has got a sale price to a degree on it. You know, some things are deeper, a little bit deeper. We're going to, you know, do some. There's some reels and stuff that I want to probably target for doing a little more off than we normally do. But, you know, we got a ton of Daiwa, Shimano on the – as far as bass reels and rods, St. Croix. We put in a lot of St. Croix this year, cashing rods, got some Luz, Daiwa, and then crappie rods, ACC, Outlaw, Huckabee. You know, we carry a lot of different variety, tons of baits. We got a lot of new baits in there too.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, you know, you guys are always — you're right in the heart of catfish country right there on the Mississippi River. But we, so, you know, obviously all the catfish stuff that you could possibly need. But the explosion that we've seen in the, with crappie fishing, and of course bass fishing is always a big deal too.
Yep,
especially with the expansion out there now. You have more room than you had in the last couple of years.
A lot more room. And then we, by doing some, you know, just some good rearranging, you know, allowed us to like, take the space that was dedicated to, you know, like our long rods, crappie rods, and surf rods, which we use for catfishing here, river rods. You know, we were able to take them down to the lower level, stand them up, display them better, which made more space for putting other stuff in there. So I we've probably got more in the shop now than we've ever had.
Yeah, yeah. And that's awesome because there's more people involved than there has been ever or in a long time. And, I want to get into that conversation about that catfish, but I also wanted to make this point. I realized a couple weeks ago when I was fishing at the Lake of the Ozarks, not catching 164-pound paddlefish, that you open your tackle box for the first time in a few months and you forget about I lost that crankbait and that buzzbait got broke off, and like there's some holes in the tackle box going into the new, you know, with the spring coming in. This is a perfect time to fill those holes in the tackle box and make sure you got, if you need new lures or if you need a new rod.
I mean, there's things that, you know, like that we stock that, you know, your big box stores don't stock. I mean, like in Rapala baits, the DT series, Force, all the way through this. We stock every color of those. That's such a good bait.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of places they might stock 10 or 12 colors. You know, we're stocking 40 plus on each, you know, each series. So it's just a good bait. I mean, and people like to, I really like that color, you know, and they work. And they don't make crappy colors in that bait. Same with Kitec, you know, another hot plastic bait, bass fishing and crappie fishing. We got the biggest selection in the St. Louis area
for
those baits.
And there's more, not only is there more people, that has created a bigger demand, and there's more product, and there's more companies, I feel like, out there than there was before. And, you know, you've got your long-standing standards that you can count on for quality products. But competition makes everybody better. So, you know, when you've got more people in there fighting for space, you know, on the shelf at Bluff City Outdoors, it makes everybody focus.
And then, you know, like I said, we've really worked hard the last 3 years or so to really say, hey, let's get any bad baits, you know, this stale merchandise, get it off the shelves. Let's get something good in here. And, you know, we've pretty much just about got that makeover complete.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this year we added a lot more bass stuff. You know, the crappie stuff is what we concentrated the last couple, and we were always kind of killing it on the catfish side.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
That stuff doesn't change as much. You might get some new hooks, but, you know, it doesn't change as much as the bass fishing and the crappie stuff.
Right. I actually want to talk a little bit more about that, about the catfishing, but definitely mark your calendars for the spring sale at Bluff City Outdoors 1 week from this weekend. Whenever you're listening to us, if you're listening on the podcast or you're listening Saturday at 11 a.m. or Sunday at noon on News Talk STL, it's the last weekend of March, next weekend as we are recording
this. And that's that Saturday. There actually is a Chasing Catch tournament going on part of. So the weigh-in will actually be at the shop around 3 is when it'll start. Guys will start showing back up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going on at the same time the sale's
cool.
going on. So.
That's cool. It's that time of year. Yeah. It's just a lot of cool
then
stuff.
Then the Alton
happening.
Catfish Classic registration opens on that on the 30th. That's the Friday.
Oh, that's good to know.
I think it's the Friday. It might be the Saturday.
Yeah, that's good to know because those go fast. I mean, there's usually...
That fills up pretty quick, usually.
Yeah, you might have a few stragglers at the end, but if you want to make sure, if you want to guarantee your spot, you need to be
get
on
in
it.
Get in early.
Yeah, you need to be on it and get in early. Yeah, I can't believe that just time flies. Talking about the Catfish Classic, which... That tournament, as we talk about these big fish, and we're going to talk about this this catch earlier this week, that tournament's first 100-pound fish is right around the corner.
Yep.
And it might be the year. So,
but we got one last year.
Oh, you did have 100?
We got the 106.
Oh, that's right. Yep. That's right. So now it's just the 200-pound limit,
the 200-pound three-fish limit. That's the big target.
That's the holy grail.
It is kind of the holy grail in catfishing.
Yeah. I think you guys are going to do it. I think the Classic is going to do it. This fish that was caught earlier this week, you were showing us some pictures, but it looks like we've got another possible.
Yeah, it looked like a triple digit. Rello, he's on my pro staff, a good guy out there all the time. He put the pitch. It looks like triple digits. He didn't post the weight there, but it's a big one.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. And that's, again, you talk about Bluff City Outdoors. You're like you said, your pro staff. You can go out to Bluff City Outdoors and get hooked up with these guys and go out on the water and for a day of fishing with a guide and learn how to.
You never know what you're gonna. You could catch a triple digit one, you're out there with them.
And you can literally shave years off your
as far as the learning
time.
Curve. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. When you go out with these guys, because Q was asking earlier, and we this picture that you were showing us this big catfish, you know, like how do you even get that? If you're a novice, how do you even start? How do you even wrap your mind around trying to go out and catch something like that? Now, I know if you're a novice, you're not necessarily trying to set the world record, but it can be intimidating, or you can feel like this is this is not something I'd be able to do. I wouldn't be able to catch a fish like that. So, taking advantage of that knowledge with those guides and
learn. I mean, then you also see the equipment that you need. I mean, because you can't. I mean, I hate to say it, but you're not going to go to Walmart and grab a little pole there and go out there and land fish like that. It's just not going to happen.
Talk about a little bit of that stuff. And stuff that you can get on during the spring sale this coming weekend out at Bluff City Outdoors. What's the serious guys, these guys, the guides, the ones that are know what they're doing and they're going out and they're trying to catch that record fish. What's the most popular average length of the pole? How big, what kind of equipment are we talking about?
Most of them are using in rods that are, they're designed to catch fish like that. I mean, various brands, TWC, I know the Ryan Casey and his guys, a lot of them use the Tangela with catfish rods, which we sell there. You know, they're good rods. They're e-glass. They're about $100 but they're designed to catch fish like that, and then. They use a lot of Shimano Takoda reels, which that's one of our big sellers. You got a couple $100 there in that reel. So, to really get geared up, each rig is going to run you
mm-hmm.
$300-$350 with good line on it. I mean, there's some less expensive options you can get into it with. But if you're really going to be serious about it and want to have the gear to catch fish that big, mm-hmm. you figure on spending a couple $100.
And what's the length of that? What's the length of the pole, the average, you think?
Most of them are 7'6".
Yeah. Yeah. And then the how what's the test on that line?
So a lot of them are they'll run a 80-pound braid, 100-pound braid, 65-pound mm-hmm. braid, and then they'll use monofilament leaders to get some stretch. And then you got some purists like Tim Pruitt, who, you know, he still fishes. He caught the Illinois record. He's a 40-pound mono guy, you know.
Wow.
You know, but see, monofilament stretches a lot.
Right.
So that's why you gotta let the fish bite the drag and stretch. You know?
Yeah.
That's the stretch on the, you know, the head shakes and stuff, you don't throw the hooks as often.
That's the real artwork there. Yep. Like if reeling in a 100-pound fish with a 40-pound test line. I mean, I know with the stretch and all that. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah,
you want them to pull drag until they wear themselves out.
Yeah. You know? Has the by and large, like when I was a kid, you know, I always would look at my dad and my grandpa and, you know, I'd say, well, why are you using this 4-pound test or this 6-pound test when we're out here catching these fish? And, you know, every now and then their lines break, they get tangled, the line breaks kind of easy. And I'm thinking, why not just put the heavy duty stuff on there so you can just manhandle these things? And it was always because the thicker line, the heavier line, you know, the fish could see it.
The baits don't move.
Yeah, the lures don't move right.
And you can't cast it if you're using a small, you know, setup. You can't cast big heavy line with it.
Has the product changed? Has that line changed? Being able to have a thicker, stronger line that is not.
That's where the braid comes in.
Yep. That's where that stuff comes in.
Braided line is so much thinner.
Yeah. Because I always use 10-pound test. And I know I'm not catching a 10-pound fish. So I just.
But you could.
I know.
You can always never, you know, if you're down there at Lake of Ozarks, you might hook one of those catfish.
That's true. Know? Or that world record paddlefish. That just is like, that's a whole different world for me. I mean, I've cut, you know. We've put the line in, you know, you put something, you know, something stinky, some chicken liver or something on a catfish pole while you're bass fishing off the, and you know, we've caught catfish like that, but like the idea of going out and
trying to catch those big fish,
those triple digit fish, that's just a whole different.
Yeah. I mean, it's a whole different animal. They're going to look, you know, techniques and, you know, a lot of those guys know what, based on this water level and temps, they'll say, okay, they're usually around here. So that's what they shoot for.
Yeah. I want to get into this story about this alligator. As we're recording this, this story just broke today. So I'm so glad that I saw it before we started recording this week's show, because I have a feeling that the trapper in you is interested in this story for other reasons that maybe other people wouldn't be.
Alligators
in Tennessee. Yeah. So this is another one of those stories, like the paddlefish story at the Lake of the Ozarks was in the national news cycle. This story is as well. Two fishing stories in the national news cycle in 1 week. I love it. A Tennessee fisherman reels in an alligator as wildlife officials say reptiles are expanding their range. So I have my oldest daughter lives in Florida, works at Disney World. So she has seen alligators, you know, down by where she lives. And we've been down there, you know, many times, and you see the signs that say, you know, no swimming, the alligators are in here. And so you're in Florida, Alabama, you're used to that. You're used to seeing that type of stuff. I don't think the fishermen in Tennessee
are prepared
to see an alligator. And not only that, apparently this alligator, like, I'm trying to see what they were fishing for, but like bit their fishing line. Like, you know, they're just out there thinking that they're casting for, you know, bass or something. And all of a sudden they're reeling in and they realize I've had a turtle bite, and you realize all of a sudden, oh, this is, you get that first hit and you think, oh, a fish. And then you realize, oh, this is a turtle. And then and then that's a mess. Like, you're like, oh, no, I don't want to deal with this turtle, you know, going to bite the tip of my finger off.
Turtles are mean.
Yeah, they are. I can't even imagine. I don't like looking at a turtle. I don't know what I would do with an alligator. So, I mean, what's that tell you? Like I said, you know, I know that your heart is in trapping and critter control, that kind of thing. And to hear that alligators could be spreading up. They think that maybe this was like a pet that got put in the water or something like that. So that would be different. But
it's pretty good size.
These wildlife agents are saying, no, these reptiles like alligators are expanding their reach and getting into states and areas that you wouldn't normally think they were in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you think about it, if they get to, at this some point north, what's to stop the next generation from moving, another 100 yards or a quarter mile north?
But why now? That's my question. Why now?
It could be that
something's going on.
Well, it could be temps. Maybe the winter temps aren't quite as cold as what they've been, down there in the past. And then could be, too, maybe there's just more waterways now available to them to migrate.
Yeah. You know, it's weird because, and we were just talking with Tim Shelsvik about this, we talked about it during deer season, how it feels like there's more integration, like you're seeing more deer in new places. I mean, you are seeing them in new places, but like in places that you would go through and like, oh, every now and then I'll see a deer in this field. And now like you're regularly seeing a dozen deer in that field. Like they're just, it just seems like the population is growing. Tim was just talking about how the population with turkey are like that. There just seems to be more of them. And now we have alligators moving to Tennessee. You would think that as humans evolve and spread out and multiply, that we'd be pushing all these animals away. And I'm not even talking about encroaching on new areas. They're coming into the already populated areas, a lot of these. Even like bear reports and things like that. Like you would think that it would be the other way, but for some reason it seems like either they're adapting to us or we're adapting to them.
And it could be too that, where humans go, food is there now.
Yes.
I mean.
Oh, when I was in Tennessee.
So, I mean, now if you're alligators, people have little dogs, they have little cats. Mm-hmm. They bring
snacks.
They just bring snacks, and if you litter, and I'm just gonna say you increase the number of the rodent population and stuff like that. So it's kind of the food chain where people go.
Yeah, that's a great point.
There's more food.
We were in the Smoky Mountains, like I said, I think I told this story on the show when my wife and I went to Gatlinburg last year. We went on a hike in the Smoky Mountains and didn't see a bear or any wildlife or anything. But when we were on the strip in Gatlinburg, which is like, it's like Vegas. Yep. It's like Vegas crossed with Branson is what the Gatlinburg strip is. I mean, and there's just restaurants and bright neon signs and people everywhere. And there was a bear in the creek that was just like 50 feet away from 1,000 people. Like, we didn't see the bear when we were hiking in the woods. We saw him in the most heavily populated area. But to your point, they know that where the people are, the food is.
Yep, food.
So they're coming in. Q, I know we're going to take you fishing this year. What if we run into an alligator?
What if you guys run into an alligator? You're not going to see me around. It won't. But I can't wait to go fishing. That I can't,
It's going to be great. But yeah, who knows? We could be catching a 100-pound catfish or an alligator. Or a world record paddlefish. It's crazy. What about if you see that alligator on the forward-facing sonar?
Seems smashing.
Trying to identify that. We're like, what is this? Is that what I think it is?
She's smiling at us.
Is that an alligator? Yeah, it's crazy. It doesn't feel natural. It feels like you would think that humans come in and they destroy everything and they always, we always wreck the environment and we would drive the animals out. But it's been the opposite here recently.
You look at some of your common, animals like raccoons. I mean, there's way more raccoons now than there was when the settlers arrived.
Yeah.
There's way more food.
Boy,
and raccoons can adapt to anything.
Yeah, and they don't give a rip.
People think they're nice and cute and cuddly when they're little, but
they'll just come right up to you.
They're just a pack of muscle, and they got a bad attitude.
They do. They do, and they are don't, and they're not scared of you.
Nah,
they will.
If you're between them
right
and the food,
you
need to get out of the way.
Yeah, it's so true.
They're coming through you.
All right, that's going to about do it for us this week. Want to remind you that not only are we in that season where you're getting outside and doing more fishing, and we've got the turkey season starting up. Also, it's grilling season. Make sure you have a bag of Rockwood Lump Charcoal next time you are out grilling. Rockwood Lump Charcoal, great local business that has also won the number one consumer rated charcoal in the country 9 years in a row. You can find the closest retailer to you that sells Rockwood Lump Charcoal at rockwoodcharcoal.com. There's over 100 area stores that sell Rockwood, so you can find it right there on the website, rockwoodcharcoal.com. And we'll don't forget, because when we're talking next week, we'll be right in the middle of the spring sale. So mark your calendars for next weekend. Bluff City Outdoors in Alton, Illinois, about a mile east of Fast Eddie's there on Broadway. The spring sale, it's the number one sale of the year to stock up on, especially on fishing gear, but just basically everything in the store. So mark your calendars next Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. What is it, the 28th through the 31st?
28th through the 31st,
that's the dates, yeah. Yeah, make sure you get out there and fill those holes in the tackle box and take advantage of the spring sale at Bluff City Outdoors next weekend. That's going to do it for us this week. For producer Quentin and my partner, Mark McMurray, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to the Bluff City Outdoors Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.